Last time we spoke about the meaning of the word praise. I want to just continue from there today. We'll read from the book of Psalms, if you have it. One scripture we use a lot here on Tuesday during prayer meeting, Psalm 91. I just want to remind us of this. Don't forget, what we try to do here is to begin to form, that means we are forming a practice. Let me just emphasize that to us again. We don't come to pray. In fact, the time I had the leading to start this, the thing came to my mind, school of prayer. It's not prayer meeting, though we do pray, all right? But it's not a prayer meeting. What is it? It's school, all right? That we come to learn. That's why I do a lot of talking, even though we also pray on the side. That is as part of it. We come to form a habit. Don't ever forget this. When I was in NYC camp, I'll tell you what not to forget, but this is where I first heard it. They used to do meditations in the morning. I don't know how many of you have been to camp, or whether they still do it till now. But then, I was in Taraba State, where the first set of coppers that went to Taraba State in 1992. So in the morning, we'll come out, line up in the cold. It was Hamatan, towards the end of the year. And somebody will be talking. So I remember one of the meditations for the day was chastity. And the guy said, watch your words, they become actions. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become a habit. And then watch your habits because they form your destiny. I didn't understand the things I understand now then. But since then, I've realized that was very, very true. Just by the way, this example I like to give is that your weight, you know, weight, the obsession of human beings in this generation, all right? Weight. I tell people it's a habit. Oh, I'm weighing 110 kg. I want to go down to 85. Fine. It's a very good desire. But I always tell people, don't use a habit you can't sustain to lose it. Because if you do, you will gain it back. The thing is that what you should do is to form a habit. I tell people, just form a new habit. Don't try, I'm 100 kg today, I want to be 45 tomorrow. You just disappear, you know what I'm saying? That you form a new habit. And life is about habit. That's just what I want to bring out from there. What your life will become is a result of the habit you have formed. That's why most of the gospel of deliverance people preach today, I don't believe it. It does not make sense. All right? Again, it's my pet project. I'm not saying Holy Spirit sent me on this assignment. It's my personal project. Once I get to the area of money, I must talk. You can't give one offering and prosper. If anybody tells you give one offering, breakthrough is coming. He just came to collect your money. It's not true. They said the widow of Zarephath gave one offering. I said it's not true. She was a habitual giver. In the time of distress, she shouted to God and God answered her. I hope you understand what I'm saying. What are we trying to do in life? Create what? New habits. Deliverance comes from the habit of righteousness. You hear what I said? Deliverance comes from what? The habit of righteousness. That's where it comes from. One man can't lay hands on you and break all the ancestors. I see it a lot of times. Today is the end of your ancestral curses. Listen, the reality is that the end of that ancestral curse was the day you gave your life to Christ. Why it hasn't left you alone is that you have not broken the ancestral habits. You get what I'm saying? Until you break the ancestral habit, the effect of that, in quote, because most of the time I don't believe in it, all right? But I know it exists. But just like most times people blame it, they don't want to accept the fact that they are the problem. You know, if it's a curse, then I'm not lazy. You get what I'm saying? If I don't do things properly, you can't blame me because there's a curse. It's not me. I'm not the reason for the failure. It's a curse. It's just that thing that they call a curse. All right? But let's even assume it's there. The reason why it hasn't left you alone is because you have not broken the ancestral habit. The true date of deliverance, the true day in which you were delivered, is the day you gave your life to Christ. Now, I'm not teaching on that now. Just something to just drop, all right, as we are starting. So what we're trying to do is to form new habits. I remember once my pastor said something in Lagos then. He said, people come to him and say they want to do all-night prayer. And he said to them, why do you want to do all-night prayer? Is there anything dangerous happening tomorrow morning? No. He said, listen, if you cannot pray all night every day, don't bother starting. Create a habit you can sustain. Okay, you want to wake up at night and pray every day, 30 minutes. Say, fine. Or 3 times a week, I wake up to pray 1 hour. Fine. He said, create a habit. He said, go and check it. How many days Jesus pray all night? Most of those, number one. In fact, the Bible says that as was his habit, you see, he used to do things that were his custom. So except there's something you really have to get solved between now and tomorrow morning. Don't get into the religion. He was teaching us then. I believe it now. I believed it then anyway. But I believe it more now. I don't get into the habit of today is all-night prayer. He said, what is happening? Nothing. Just a habit. You feel good just by the way. I say, why don't you pray during the day and sleep at night? I mean it literally. I mean, like, if you, why must you feel? You feel so special that I did something I did not sleep God just because of you, so you bless me. We do that a lot of times. What I'm going to say is that what we need more importantly in life is what? To create a habit of righteousness. Let's get back to what we were talking about last week, praise. We said we are here talking about prayer. And last week we looked at the issue of worship, praise, thanksgiving, and stuff like that in the matter of prayer. And I'm saying again, we are not here just to pray. We are here to do what? Learn a new habit. I emphasized last time that praise is a habit. It's not just to raise your hands and wave it, though praise can be expressed in the waving of hands. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not just to hold your stomach and twist. Sometimes it grips you to that level, and you need to hold your stomach and twist. You understand my point? Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. So sometimes it happens. You look at your wife, you're suddenly looking at her, you're smiling. But whether you smile or not, you're in love with her, amen? And in case you are not, you can come. I'll teach you how to do it. In the same manner, praise is like that. We are in love with God all the time. We are in love with our Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Whether we are waving our hands or not, occasionally we do that. Occasionally we sing songs to Him. But the song is not the praise. It's just a way of expressing the praise that is in the heart. The praise must be a habit. I said that praise is where you ascribe power to. You understand my point? So this is what praise is. Somebody asks, oh boy, things are tough. People like say, man, go run. And you just tell the person simply. If you say, I will run, those who are chasing you will be swift. That's what the Bible says. You say to him simply, promotion does not come from east or west. All right? Does not come from the south. But God is judge. Now you are just answering a question. You are discussing with a friend. And you are already praising God. What is praise? Where I ascribe power to. Once he has spoken, twice I have heard this, that what? The power belongs to God. What is praise? Praise is to testify, both to yourself and to other people, that the power belongs to God. So it's a habit, it's a mindset, it's the way you behave, it's the way you respond to situations in life. Somebody doesn't like you, say, you never can tell. There are people who do good only because you never can tell where you will meet again tomorrow. In case you did not know it before, know it now. It's a very stupid reason for a Christian to do good. It's an unrighteous reason. It's an ungodly reason. Why do we do good? Because good is good. Amen? It's our habit. It's our character. We are children of God. So the idea of doing good, all right, comes out of our spirit. Whether we get something from it or not is not the issue. Whether I will meet you tomorrow or not, in fact, if they guarantee me that after doing you good, you will die in 1 week, I will still do you good. You follow what I'm saying? It's not because of where I will meet you tomorrow. It's a habit. It's a lifestyle for us. In the same manner, we're not praising God just because of what we're going to get. We praise God because we recognize His power. It's not, look, praise God, when you praise Him, now suddenly good will start dropping from heaven. No. No. We praise Him because He's worthy of praise. That's the way it is. You follow what I'm saying? Let me say that again. We praise Him, why? Because He's worthy of praise. It's like maybe you get to the house and you see my son wearing a new pair of shoes. Say, this is nice. And he says, oh, mommy bought it for me. It's nothing. Do you understand my point? He's not trying to shine. I don't know whether you get my point. He's not trying to impress anybody. He's not trying to impress mommy. He's not trying to impress you. As a matter of fact, this new pair of shoes came to me because mommy bought them. That's all. You understand what I'm saying? That's how praise is also. So when we're examining our lives, when we're thinking about our future, when we're thinking about everything, we never forget to understand the place that our relationship with God plays. And when we declare that, it's called praise. Do you follow what I'm saying? When we declare that, it's called what? Praise. All right? Thanksgiving is, yes, I said it last time, recognizing that all good and perfect gifts, all right, they come from God. All right, just to review the thing we said last time, we're continuing them today. Psalm 91, I said we should open there, right? If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let me just read New King James. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust." Let me stop there. We'll read the rest in a while. He said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What does that mean again? It means that a man, a woman can make a conscious effort to enter into that place called the secret place of the Most High. But the consequence of that is what is called abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? Abiding under the protection of the Almighty. What does shadow mean? Listen, shadow describes the influence that somebody has. So he abides under the influence of God's power in his or her life. If you remember the story of Daniel, that's Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw that dream and he saw that great tree, talked about how luxuriant that tree was. And you see many birds were nesting under its shadows. Animals were under its shadows. That is, it was a description of the influence, all right, of Nebuchadnezzar in the lives of the people that he had blessed. So when the Bible talked about the shadow of the Almighty, he's saying he'll walk under the abundance of the Almighty. He'll walk under the protection of the Almighty, all right? Those are consequences. You can't just decide to enjoy it. What you can decide to do is to dwell in the secret place. Now, how do we dwell there? That's verse 2. He says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." What does that mean? It's what I say of God that decides where I dwell. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, when situations in life come, all right, upon me, like I said last time, life always demands a response from you. Do you follow? It always demands a response. If you know, there are ways you can respond. You know, the other day there was a plane crash, and a lot of people said, "I will not fly again." You understand? "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." That is, I shouldn't respond like that. If they say, "What shall we do?" Say, we need to pray some more. Are you getting my point? That is better. Or, no need to be afraid. God is our defense. He will carry us on eagle's wings. Even if we are flying, we will not crash. Do you understand my point? The response of, "A, we will not fly again." Somebody say, "From now, for me, na road." You know what I'm saying? Then God, if He's kind to you, if you're a young man and you say that, the next journey you take by road, you go jam. Yeah. I don't mean real accident, but you go jam something, sha. You can jam a rock. You understand my point? Yes, your car can break down. May you not jam arm robbers, amen. May your car not fall into the water, amen, over the bridge. But anyway, you will experience, you understand what I mean, the problem of road travel. Why? Because God, it's not because the road cannot be safe. It's just that the Lord has to make a point to you that safety is not of the road. Safety is of whom? The Lord. The Lord has to make a point to you that death is not an accident. Are you getting me? That death is not an accident. People didn't die because they were on a plane. They died because it was time to die. Being on the plane was just an appointment. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Being on that plane was an appointment. Let me say it to you again. Death is not by chance. What did I say? It's not by chance. It's an appointment. It is appointed unto man. That is, it's an appointment. When Saul was going to die, God said, "Who will go and entice?" Did I say Saul? Ahab. And who will go and entice Ahab so they might go to Ramoth Gilead? Why? So that he might meet his appointment. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was the day of appointment. So let's just move him to the place of what? Appointment. So how do we declare as Christians? When we hear situations, "I will say of the Lord, my protection, my deliverance is from Him." He said, "I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress." I like the way he says it. He said, "My God, in Him I will trust." "I will say of the Lord." Literally, the Hebrew says, it didn't say He is. The literal Hebrew just said, "My refuge, my fortress." That is, if I want to call Him, I call Him a name concerning what He is in my life. They asked Moses, or Moses first asked God, who should we say, who should I tell them sent me? And he said, say to them, I am that I am. When you get there, say he is. In fact, Moses said, what is your name? I am that I am. When you get there, say he is sent you. That's what the Red Prince taught me there when I listened to one of his messages. And Miles Morrow began to explain. He said, why did God say that I am? All right? He said, because describing him is difficult. You can only discover him depending on the situation you find yourself in at that time. That's the only way. So when you are hungry, he is the bread that came down from heaven. That's the way it is. When you are thirsty, is the water of life. Or are you getting my point? When you are sick, he becomes Jehovah, the God that healed thee. All right? If you are healthy, you won't discover that. You will not realize that. All right? So you find out what God is depending on the situation you find yourself in life. Once I was watching on TV, I've told this story before. A woman was saying that. They said, do you pray for money? I said, no, I don't pray for money. When I need money, I walk. I said, obviously, one, there is work to walk. Amen? There's health to use to walk the walk. And number three, the kind of problems you need, the kind of money you need, you can work for it. I don't know how you get my point. I said, that woman, it was a white woman, was on TV, maybe an American, European. I said, oh, you have not discovered the God, that Jehovah, all right? Jehovah Jireh. Thank you. That's not what I remember. I said, you haven't discovered Jehovah Jireh. You have not discovered El Shaddai God. You have just discovered the Saul side, the Esau side of life. If I need money, I work. She hasn't discovered it. If she's a young Christian, God will do her a very nice favor. She will get into a trouble that working for 200 years will not be able to pull her out of. Then God will pull her out of it. The next time, I say, what do you need money? When you need money, what do you do? You say, I pray. When I want to help somebody, I walk. You understand my point? But when I need money, what do? I pray. That's what it means when they say, I will say of the Lord. When I need money, it's not I walk. Anything I need, I pray. Jesus said, whatever it is that you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them. He didn't say, when you walk, believe they will pay you. What did he say? Believe you have received them as an answer to prayer. What was he saying there? That is, I will say of the Lord is my provider. You get the point? These days, there's a lot of, you know, of course, human beings, they are always understanding something. How do you become healthy? Lose weight, eat small, don't eat oil, don't eat egg. You know, today I was in my office, I was telling my colleagues, the younger doctors, I said, one egg a day keeps heart attack away. And one of them laughed. He said, Chief, you said you have some interesting opinions about things in life. I said that deliberately, just to counter what everybody has been saying. All right? I'm not discussing that now. All right? Now, the point I want to make is that people say, don't eat eggs. I said, why? He said, so that your heart will not have problems. Now, why they are saying it, I take an egg, break it, and eat it. Anything else? Now, I'm not discussing that now. Humans just get into a fad, all right? Because they think long life comes from exercise. Listen to me, long life does not come from exercise. Is that your name, amen? Listen, I exercise. I'm not saying that, don't say that Pastor Bank is very lazy. He's trying to justify his laziness. I have a small mini gym in my house. Periodically, I climb on it. I do some work. When I enter the bathroom, I have some nice, innovative ways by which I do quick exercise, 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the morning. All right? But listen. How many of you know Roti Williams? Bro did not exercise though. That man was large. And he lived by Nigerian standards quite, in fact, by any standard, the guy lived very long. Have you ever heard of Winston Churchill? Now, please, I'm not trying to tell you to go and buy cigarettes or cigars and start smoking. I just want to explain something to you. The man was fat. He smoked heavily and drank heavily. And the doctor told him that he should please stop all of this so that he would live long. The doctor died before him. Did that say you should smoke? Smoking is a bad habit. You are defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit, so don't smoke. I didn't say you go that you're going to become too fat. That's not the problem. Try and run up the stairs. If you can't run up the stairs, go and lose weight. Amen? I'm just trying to explain. Don't put your hope, your faith in that now I have lost weight, I will live long. After you've lost weight and you're very trim, you cross the road, one car will show you that it's easier to kill thin people than fat people. You don't want that. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What am I going to say? Long life is not from diet. Long life is not from exercise. Long life is a gift of God. I will say of the Lord, the one who preserves my life. Are you following the point I'm making? What do you say of the Lord? I'm not saying that, listen, you shouldn't exercise. That's it, so please. Some people say, hey, praise God. Now, just sit down. I will not do anything. I didn't say so. The Bible says, except the Lord builds the house, the laborers, they are working in what? In vain. Except the Lord watches the city, the watchmen are awake in what? In vain. Except the Lord keeps a man healthy, he exercises for nothing. Do you get the point I'm making? What am I saying? That's what praise is. What do we say of the Lord? When you're addressing your life, how do you address your life? Do I say of my certificate, my prosperity, and my secured destiny? That's my certificate. No, I don't say of that. I don't say that of my certificate. I say of the Lord. He's my confidence. He's my security. He's my future. You are getting the point I'm making. So I don't break my back over the wall. I don't have whether I have it or not is besides the point. If God needs it to give it to me, he will manufacture it. Again, the Miriam said, you will bear a son. And Mary called the angel and said, wait, excuse me. There are many Marys in this neighborhood. That one is married. In fact, she's pregnant. Maybe that's the one you wanted to talk to. Then, you know, there's another Mary, lives just down the road. Talk to that one. She just got married yesterday. Hopefully, she'll conceive according to your word in the next few days. But this Mary is single. That was what she was trying to explain to the angel. This Mary knows no man. So maybe you've gotten your angelic assignment. All right? You got your... There was one episode of Touched by an Angel in which Monica went to a wrong address. How many of you were touched by an angel? There was one episode, Monica went to a wrong address. Maybe they said number one, Chime Avenue, Nigeria. So she dropped and there was one number one, Chime Avenue in Kaduna. Now you go there. Begin operate. Now police arrest her. So maybe it's that kind of situation. That's what Mary was thinking. But no, the angel said, I know what I'm saying. I know where I came from. I knew where I was going. It is this Mary. You hear what I said? He said, yes, I did. But listen, whatever God needs to bring out something in your life is packaged inside the word that he delivered to you. So he said, no word of God shall be void of power. You are getting what I'm saying? If you have been believing the word of God, whatever it is that you need, you will have to have that word produce effect. If you don't have it, you don't need it. I'm not sure you heard that one. If you don't have it, what did I say? It's not necessary. It's not necessary. For this word to come to pass, if only I can just get back to school and get this PhD, this word will just come to pass. If the word needed it, it will have led you to school and led you to a PhD by itself. The Bible said that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken. That's what you'll have discovered at the end of the day. That something happened and it fulfilled something. Once you start thinking that if only I had this, this word will have happened, then get it clear. You don't need that thing. I will say of the Lord, it's my pathway to destiny. It's not my certificate. It's not those who I know. It's not the things I have around me. I will say of the Lord, he's my safety. It's not the part of town I live in. I remember when I first moved to Transekulu, when I first came to Enugu then. It's only with the hearing of your ears, you will hear things, all right? They said this area used to be very notorious. The story. Because we live in the part of town that the next, if you just come out of my window and look, all you see is bush. So we're just at the edge. So the guy who came to do some work on the floor for the man living downstairs, so he looked at my fence and said, should you help me put security wire? You know, this barbed wire on the fence. I said, how much would that cost? He told me the price. So I reminded him that he knows I'm a tenant. I don't own the house. He said, for safety. I said, don't worry, I'm safe. Forget that one. In fact, the brother living downstairs, the one that he came to do some work on his floor, that one, he hardly used to lock his door, self. You know, these normal doors made of plywood. You just come out, turn the key. The kind of one that an angry man can kick down. Not even a thief. An angry man. In your vexation, you hit the door will break. So I said, Chima, that was the guy's name. Why don't you just, because they didn't have, we had gates. The landlord put gates in the place. Why don't you just buy padlock? I mean, 200 naira and lock it. Just look, I said, Pastor Banky, any thief that can break that door, he has tried. And Jim was walking at night, sleep like that. I said, what is the issue? He said, listen, my father had a friend in Lagos. You know, Lagos that time, the street had security. The house had security. Yeah, the man has CCTV, everything. He said the day thieves came to the house, they waited for the man, took a lift in his car, followed him into the house, did everything they wanted to do, and then they left. Since that day, he lost faith in anything. So now he just made up his mind, God, if you want to protect this dog, go ahead, do it. If you don't want to, let them break it, take whatever they want. They don't try. It's hard labor. I mean, stealing is not easy. All right? That was Chima's mentality. Now, I hope you don't understand that this, I will say of the Lord, He's my security. He's my safety. Except the Lord watches over that home, the person locking the door is locking it in vain. Amen? These are the things we bear in mind, though. So that if you now lock a door, your faith is not in the locked door. Your faith is in God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Whatever you do in life, your faith is not in that. Listen, you can't walk so that you'll be promoted. Let me just say that again. Hard work does not earn you promotion. You know what earns you promotion? The favor of God. What did I say? The favor of God. Say, Pastor Parker, shouldn't I work hard? A reasonable person should do his work diligently. So if you have a boss that's very wicked, he will not agree to promote you no matter how hard you work. You don't stop working hard because of that. Why? You're not working hard for the boss. You're working hard because you're a child of God. And the Bible says that, if you read that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says you have been called that God through you might show forth his excellency. That is, his excellence you came to show forth, not to please anybody. You get what I'm saying? Whatever I do it well. Promotion does not come from the man who's watching. It comes from God. I like the story so much of Ben Carson. Go and read that book if you haven't read it. Any book I mentioned from here 4 times and you have not read it, you're not my friend. Amen? All right, so you've all agreed now that any book I mentioned here 4 times and you still haven't read it, you're no longer my friend. You were before. So I'll mention this one again. I've not mentioned it in a long time. Gifted Hands by Ben Carson. Just by the way, that's how you learn things about life. All right? Go and read the story again. Ben Carson's Gifted Hands. The man would describe how he went for interview to enter med school. And that's in, which school was it? Johns Hopkins, he went to medical school, I don't know. Anyway, to enter med school anyway. No, to start to get a residency position in neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins. Of course, people go down, practice everything, you know. When you enter there, you know, the way you walk, you sit down, don't speak until you are spoken to. And that's how it is in the military. You go in there, sergeant, this reporting as instructed, and then you stand there. You don't say anything again until Oga speaks to you. They've learned all of that. They've learned how to speak nicely when you are spoken to finally. Except that in his case, he entered the place. As a young boy, he wanted to do music, and he failed at that attempt. But in that process, he learned something about classical music. So he entered, I can't remember this, I've not read the book in a while. But let's make a long story short. He and the man that was supposed to interview him did not discuss medicine. They did not discuss surgery. They did not discuss neurosurgery. They did not discuss anything about sickness. They were talking about Beethoven, Handel, Mozart. Oh, you like that, the uncompleted concerto of this and that? Oh, yes, sir. You know, they talk. At the end of the day, interview finish. Ah, you can go. Short while later, they said, look, we like that young man. What happened? God used music. If you tomorrow say, nah, I'm going to learn music, all these neurosurgeons, they like music. You enter interview with the man, you enter the place. My friend, will you stop that nonsense? Then the man starts telling you how useless the idea of music is. He starts telling that every other neurosurgeon that listens to music is not normal. All your last 5 years of learning music, so you get a job. What happened? You don't spoil. Promotion does not come from your own effort. It comes from what? God's favor. That's what is called favor. Sometimes people say that You know, so I've thought about that. If somebody were to ask you, what do they mean when they say God will do it? You can't see God physically. I've thought about it very well. I'll tell you one of the answers. There are many answers. God will arrange the events he needs to bring that thing to pass. That's what it means. I'm a black man that's been cursing now. I don't know anybody. My father, his father left when he was young. His mother, he did not know as a young boy that his mother could hardly read, because his mother used to make them read and submit the summary of the book to her, one book or two books a week. So they did not know, he and his brother did not know that his mother couldn't read what they wrote. Because the mother insisted, you must read. And you go to the library, pick a book, read it, summarize, give me the summary. They didn't know the mama could not read the summary. The man did not know anybody. The day he needed it, God sent a man who loved music. And he had a little experience in music. He and the man chatted. A brother told me, in fact, should be around, maybe he's behind the door. He said, the day he got the job in Glo, you know what happened? After interviewing, it was time to speak with Adenuga. He always likes to interview all his staff, finally. As soon as he entered, the guy looked at his name. He said, The man said something in Efik. He replied in Efik. They chatted a while in Efik. And that was the end of the interview. There was no question of what are you planning to do? Where are you coming from? He just knew that this man, you can speak Efik. So the guy started speaking. It happened that that man could speak Efik. So they talked a bit in Efik, and that was the end of the interview. Employed that Efik speaking guy. Of all those who went to Alliance Francaise to learn Efik because of that. That's the problem with testimonies. Once God has done it once, people now want to capitalize on that. The widow of Zarephath gave one offering. All the ones you have given, you have only gotten poorer. You are a witness. God can collect the offering if he wants. Sometimes he doesn't even care whether you have offering or not. Those lepers that he gave a breakthrough, which offering did they give? 2 Kings now. This is chapter 7. The lepers just went and said, they got a breakthrough. Any offering? God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Have you heard that thing before? It's very true. The point, this is what praise is. We understand all of these things. And when situations come upon us in life, we just declare, safety is of the Lord. Prosperity is of the Lord. Victory is of the Lord. Are you getting my point? My destiny is hid with Christ in God. Long life and prosperity is from God. In fact, I even like this one. Single guys, listen. He said, a prudent wife is of the Lord. No go say amen.
Amen.
If I all single guys here, you must say amen. A prudent wife is of the Lord.
Amen.
Houses and riches the fathers can give. But he said, a prudent wife is not final. It's just of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So single guys, a prudent wife is of the Lord. That here an amen.
Amen.
The Bible sometimes talks only halfway. The other half is still true. A prudent husband is of the Lord. Hey, come on, amen. Who's talking to you? I expected to hear the ladies to say amen to that. Yeah, give me my amen. Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Alright, because of this, I'm just reminding us of the things that we have discussed. We are going to just do something now. We'll just rise to our feet and begin to make our declarations of the Lord. Alright, I wasn't even planning to speak for this long. Let's rise to our feet. Let's do that for like 15, 20, 25 minutes and then we are out of here. Remember, it's a habit we are forming. It's not just a prayer session. It's what? It's a habit. This is how you will speak all the time. That's what we are here to learn. How do I talk in life? Don't forget what I said last time. Life will always demand that you speak. What did I say? Life will always demand that you speak. And when it's going to make demand, it won't be in church. Normally in church, you know who makes demand that you speak? It's pastor. Everybody say after me, God is good. What choice do you have? You also will say, God is good. God is a good God. Everybody will say, God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. The devil is a bad devil. Even his friends inside there, they will be declaring. That's not where life makes his demands. It's outside, after service, as he wants to cross the road. You want to jam me? Are you blind? The devil will say, thank you very much. Start wasting away the anointing. You understand?
I didn't move just now, the guy would have killed me. Killing is of the Lord. Did I hear an amen? Yes, only God can kill me. I remember once, this really happened, literally, really happened. There's opposite our church in Lagos, then, in Yaba, that's 400 Herbert Macaulay, on that Herbert Macaulay Road. I don't know how it is now, but then, it's a dual carriage road, but one side is two-way. It was very funny. So I crossed one, I was going to Benin, I remember. So I went to church to go and pick up my tapes. I had booked some tapes during service, previous service. So the fellow interested, I could pick them. I said I wanted to travel. I wanted to take the tapes with me. So I went to pick them. As I was crossing, I was now crossing to get to where I'll take a taxi and go to Benin. I crossed the first side, that's one way. Naturally, though unconsciously, the second side, you'll assume, is the other direction. I forgot that that side is two-way. So I just put my leg in. That is, I just walked into the center of the road without looking. I was looking in one direction. There was no vehicle coming, so I decided to cross. One bus, one Lagos downfall was just on me at that moment. The guy swept, that is, sharp swerving. He didn't even have the time to press his horn or something to warn me. He swerved sharply. The conductor was shocked, like, this Lagos is wicked, though. This guy just wants to commit suicide. Now, this really happened. I remember, as a guy, of course, the conductor just put out his head, like, what is wrong with this fellow? I remember I looked at him, I smiled, and I waved just to apologize. You know, it was a mistake. I just waved. I remember the thought that was in my mind. Forget it. I can't die now. That was all that was inside me. I just said, forget it. I can't die now. You had no choice. If I do that thing 10 times, you have to swerve 10 times. If God has to crush your car, he will crush it, but I'm not dying now. People don't die by mistake.